Lisa and Pete here. In case you missed anything in Tuesday's show or want another listen, here's your catch-up.
Andrew Embley weighed in today on the debate about capping scores in kids' footy.
Professor John Phillimore from John Curtin's Institute of Public Policy talked about the Constitution off the back of the two Greens members who've had to resign because of dual citizenship.
And Justin Hamilton reviewed one of the most talked about shows on the telly at the moment, The Handmaid's Tale.
This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
Now, we touched on this last week when we were covering Breakfast Lease.
Thought it was madness.
Victoria's Riddell District's Football League has reignited this debate in WA because they wanted to bring in a margins cap for under-16s football statewide. Now, this margins cap has been in place here for 12 to 16s since 2008. Dual premiership player Peter Wilson slammed the scoring modifications, and he's saying that they're keeping WA's junior footballers wrapped in cotton wool. To talk about this in more depth, we're joined by Andrew Embley. Embers, former premiership player, Norm Smith medalist. You'll hear him on the Dead Set Legends and also on the Triple M footy call team. Always a pleasure to chat to you, mate.
Hey, Pete.
Embers,
hey,
all those things that Pete just said, plus a dad. So, the perfect person to ask. I mean, they all get a prize now. Musical chairs takes forever because they never take a chair away. Do you think that this is, you know, kids have got to learn disappointment, don't you think?
Oh, it's amusing, isn't it? Like, I just, every time I hear this conversation, I just sort of shake my head. Like, I mean, life's a competition, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, from an early age, whether you're competing against your brothers and sisters, against yourselves, other people, other teams, and not everyone wins.
No.
So when you lose, there's nothing wrong with losing. So it's about teaching your kids resilience, and I just feel like this is just going way, way too far.
That's the perfect word, teaching your kids resilience. Yeah. You don't want to learn out that you lose sometimes at the age of 19 or 20.
Like, we've got this game Uno, right? So everyone plays Uno.
Love Uno
at the moment with three young children. And I must admit, the tantrums and the wars going on with a game of Uno.
You've got to stop, Embers.
So I'm about to ban Uno, but is that the answer? No, it's not. It's teaching my children, my four-year-old, that listen, mate, you're not always going to win a game of Uno, okay? So you don't have to go and kick the chair after you lose.
Yes.
Losing is okay, mate, okay?
So
the way I've always viewed success is how you respond to disappointment and your failures, because at the end of the day, if you're just going to throw the towel in because someone is better than you, then you know, what sort of message are you teaching?
Yeah.
Well, I think, I mean, for me, this looking at this thing, the 60-point margin cap that was introduced for 12 to 16s here in WA back in 2008. I mean, first, whether you lose by 60 points or whether you lose by 120 points, you still got to teach the fact that a loss is a loss.
Yeah.
You know, and also, I mean, Embers, we see it in professional sport. How are you meant to teach these kids that you've got to play as hard as you possibly can right up until the last minute of the game? I mean, you've been in your fair
and
share of games.
The last game of the season.
Exactly. You've been in your fair share of games way back in the day where you guys were being beaten by 100 points, but you ran those games out.
Absolutely. That's the thing. At three-quarter time, there's plenty of games that I've been involved in to know that, listen, whatever you do in this last quarter, you're not going to win the game.
No.
But I tell you what, if you stick together as a group and you work it out and you fight it out, that's your strange spirit, isn't it?
And isn't it what makes when you win the next week so good?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you finish off a bad performance and you go, well, you know what? Our last quarter was so good, and you get confidence out of that. And the next week, you respond, you train really well during the week. And then, as you said, you go out the following week and you start and you play really well and you win the game. And you go, wow, it wasn't just about today. It was about, you know, what happened in that last quarter and that defeat last week.
Mate, a pleasure. Thank you. And we'll catch you on the call this weekend, by the way.
Looking forward to it. Fremantle taking on the Hawks.
You beauty. Thanks Embers.
Embers. And go easy on them in the Uno.
I'll do my best.
Scott Ludlam, Lease, and now another Green Senator, Larissa Waters. They have resigned due to dual citizenship.
It's not easy being Green this week.
Hey, good one. Look, for more on this, we're going to the top. People who know more about this sort of stuff than we do, because it has sparked a debate about changing the Constitution or not. And we're joined by Professor John Phillimore, Executive Director of the John Curtin Institute of Public Policy.
Professor, this, I mean, I've never heard of this in all my years, and yet now we've had two in the space of about 72 hours. How sensible are our dual citizenship rules? Because this seems amazing to me that it could get this far, that they could go, oh, hang on, I should never have been here.
It seems pretty crazy, doesn't it?
It does.
I guess there's two points here. One is, look, the Constitution is the Constitution, and so it's up to the parties and the candidates to make sure they abide by it and check things like, are they eligible under the Constitution? The second question is actually a very sensible provision, and I think there's probably plenty of changes that can be made because, I mean, nobody's questioning that Larissa Waters is loyal or obedient to Australia. Mm. I mean, she left Canada when she was 11 months old. She's never been back. She was born to Australia. Parents.
Oh, right.
She thought she was Australian. She'd been naturalised when she got back here as a little kid. So let's not pretend that she's somehow obedient to a foreign power or whatever the words are in the Constitution. And Scott Ludlam, same thing. He came to Western Australia when he was 8 years old, left New Zealand when he was three. I mean, the provision of the Constitution is built around the idea that, you know, you want people to be loyal to Australia. Mm. Well, clearly they are. It's just the way it's written. But nevertheless, that's the law at the moment, so the parties had to get their act together, and in this case they didn't. I guess the reason why we know about Larissa is because she thought, oh, I wonder if I'm okay.
I better check. Yeah.
And you may well find there's a whole lot of senators and MPs and other people doing a quick check now to make sure what's going on with them too.
Professor, so what happens from here? Once they're out, right, the other thing that I heard is that they'd could quite possibly be a provision for them to have to pay back the money that they've earned.
There are provisions that could potentially make that happen, but I think there is the ability for the Minister for Finance and basically for the federal government and for the Senate to waive those fees or to pay them on the behalf of the party or of the individual candidate. Well, I think that's reasonable.
Well, it wouldn't be the first archaic kind of rule that, you know, we find out about. Do you think that there is room for the Constitution to have a bit of an overhaul?
Absolutely. Well, it's called Section 44, so all your listeners now will know Section 44 is the key one, but it's not just these two senators. I mean, in another section, 44.5 talks about whether you've got direct or indirect pecuniary interests. In other words, are you getting any money from the Commonwealth through other means? And Senator Bob Day, the Family First Senator, basically fell foul of that because he had an electorate office and it was pretty much rented through a company that was somehow related to him. So he fell foul of that and was disqualified. There's a High Court challenge to a current Assistant Minister, David Gillespie, who's a Nationals MP. He owns a small shopping centre, and that shopping centre has an Australian Post outlet who leases space in that shopping centre. And there's questions, well, is he sort of benefiting from the Commonwealth? And this is now getting ridiculous.
Oh, my head hurts just thinking about that one.
Exactly. So I think we don't like having referendums very often in Australia because everyone thinks they're always going to get knocked back because they're always seen as too divisive. But I think let's clean up the Constitution Act, I think maybe is a sensible one, and then people might get more used to the idea because it just seems crazy that people who are, you know, whether you like their politics or not, they clearly shouldn't be, I don't think, be ruled ineligible on a technicality.
Professor Phillimore, one thing I've always thought is all these rules and things, it really makes for a shallow pool of people to get into our government, to get the best people. Is that a reason why there needs to be a bit of an overhaul as well?
I think that's an excellent point and another reason why we should. I mean, it's hard enough to get good people to stand for politics anyway.
Yeah.
We don't want to have unreasonable obstacles in the way of people standing for Parliament, and I think this seems to be one of those ones. It's caught two senators, happen to be from the same party. Who knows what might happen in the coming weeks, but really it seems crazy to me that we're doing this. Yes, it's the law, but let's now try and use this as an opportunity to fix the law up.
All right, time for change.
We've just been talking to the Executive Director, John Curtin, Institute of Public Policy, Professor John Phillimore. An absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you very much for your time.
No worries, guys.
Thank you.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to get a picture of all of the Greens ministers and MPs and senators. We're going to put them in like an Australian Idol type map and then cross them off as they fall. It's going to be up here. It's going to be great. And you know what? We'll even put it up on the website. You can download, play along at home as well.
Can you call 1-800-something-something to save them?
Yeah, but 55 cents, you must ask your parent or guardian.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Please be advised the following radio segment is designed for people who have televisions, people who watch television programs in their homes, on their computers, or on electric telephone devices. Lisa and Pete would like to remind you this isn't just Talkin' Telly. This is Justin Hamilton. Talking telly.
Hello, Justin. A lot of telly happening at the moment, actually. A few things coming back on, but what are you reviewing today?
The Handmaid's Tale, which you told me just before we went to air, Lisa, you've already binge-watched the whole thing.
I'm halfway through the first season. I can vouch for this. So a friend of mine put me onto it last week, and then I sent her a message on Saturday saying, so much for housework today. I'm just about to watch season 5. Brilliant, stunning, amazing show.
Oh, my Lord. It's really, by the way, good on you for watching lots of episodes in a row. Like, I have literally watched the first one and thought, whew, I need to have a bit of a breather.
Oh, yeah, you need a cup of tea in between. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, a few push-ups, you know.
Yeah.
But Pete, if you don't know what this is about, it's based on a dystopian novel by Margaret Atwood. It's actually quite an old novel, and it sees a world that is not too far removed from our own, even if the rules have changed. Yeah, this is a world where fertility rates have dropped to a staggeringly low mark. America's been transformed into a theocracy where women have no rights, and the handful of fertile women left are forced to serve their lives as handmaids for the wives of the more privileged men. So as if that world could ever exist, Mr. Trump. But anyway...
Yeah, well...
Oh, my Lord.
Off, Donald.
Oh, God. Right from the start, the premise is, oh, that's a bit too close to the bone, and we follow the lead character, Offred, who's played by Mad Men's Elizabeth Moss, who's been turned into a handmaid after her husband was murdered and her daughter taken away, and now she's stuck in a role where she must be subservient. Like, that's not even her real name. That's her handmaid name, which is quite stunning.
Well,
and she's forced to swallow any trace of her personality and must be a placid vessel for the needs of her new master.
Wow.
And man, it's like, it's relentless.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to say straight up, it's relentless, but God, it is good, isn't it, Liz?
Yeah, it is amazing. And of course, I didn't realize, Janelle had to tell me, Janelle from Mum's the Word had to tell me that she's off Fred because she's of Fred, like off Glenn, off Steve. Glenn. Yeah.
That's
their commander.
Oh, oh,
that's how their name comes about. Very interesting.
Wow.
It's great, right?
Mm.
I think the only relief you get while watching the show, because we're privy to her secret thoughts, and you know that she's rebellious, and you know that she's still a free thinker, and those moments are like, whew, okay, I can breathe again.
This surprisingly, some, light sort of relief in a couple of the ends of episodes just with one word from her.
God, it was so good. Elizabeth Sladen, like, she is amazing, isn't she? I was such a fan of hers in Mad Men, and it's great to see her continuing to do fantastic work, and the whole cast is great. I will say, for anyone who wants to dip in, it's not a comedy.
Like, it's not a comedy. It is, but it's stunning juxtaposition.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So look, I'm sure this won't be for everyone, but I reckon the people that dip in and give it a go, man, I think they're going to be really rewarded with one of the most powerful shows of the year.
Yep.
So The Handmaid's Tale, you can catch it all on SBS On Demand, or it'll be back on free to air once the Tour de France stops. I'm giving this two thumbs and a thumb war for dominance.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.